Well, we started a new series last week, and we're calling it What If. Everybody say, What If? What if? And we are asking ourselves some depth charge questions. Some questions that'll make us think. So tonight I want to talk about your job. I want to talk about your job. And I really want us to perhaps reboot our minds, to say it like that. How many ever, you know what, something's going on with your computer or your phone it's like you hit it too fast and it, you know, was starting to do this and then you told it to do that and it just kind of freezes up. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want right now. And you need to shut it off and reboot it. If I ask, you know what, how many of you, how many of you loved your job? I don't know that we'd have a lot of people who would raise their hand and say, I do, man, I love my job. You know what I mean? But I think if I ask, many of you would have a lot of negative things to say about your job. I'm just asking you to think. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, you know what? That's easy for you to talk about, you know what I mean? You're here at the church, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know what I mean? And just, man, you got the awesome job. You work at church, man. I do have an awesome job. I won't disagree with you there. I am so blessed. But having said that, I was blessed before I was at this church. I was blessed when I worked 25 years at Albertsons. And you talk about a challenging place to work. In the grocery store, one of the reasons why it's so challenging is because they literally don't do any training of their managers in any kind of customer service, human relational, I mean, anything. The top managers, you know what they were? They were box people who became a checker, and then they worked night crew. How many know night crew is cool? Because you don't have to worry about, you don't have to deal with any customers. And so, and I'm not saying all managers, I'm just saying I worked in the grocery store for 25 years, and in 25 years, this is a true story, there was only three managers in all my 25 years, probably, and I worked for those managers probably less than 5 years, if I combined all three managers, that had some customer service skills and some employee service skills. And so I don't know how your manager is like, but I know how most of my managers were like. They were had no training in customer service and no training in caring about the employees, and it made it very, very difficult. But what I want to ask you tonight is, what if work was part of your worship? What if work was part of your worship? Or let me say it like this, because I think this will help you. What if work, if we understood work as an assignment that was given to you by God Himself? What if work, what if you saw your job where you were working as an assignment that was given to you. See, most of us, most people, and this filters into the church, most people think the main reason they go to work, what would you say, you know, if we were doing, what's that show, you know, where they turn that thing, ding, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, good answer, good answer. Family Feud. Okay, we're playing Family Feud. You tell me, what is the number one answer? Why do most people work? Yeah, they see it. They're going to work because they have bills that they need to pay. That would be, would you agree? That would be the number one answer. Okay? And for many of us, we have kind of taken that philosophy in our work because that's how we see it. And what I want to do is I want to reboot your minds tonight. I want to look into the scripture and I want to show you God didn't intend for work to be predominantly just so you could pay your bills. That's not the purpose of work. And so if you don't understand the purpose, you understand? How many know it's going to be a big difference? You know what I mean? What if you grew up and you came from a different planet? And you came here to this planet and you saw these men golfing. And you're looking and you don't understand because they hit the ball. And then after they hit the ball, then they start cussing. And so you're thinking, okay, so you're trying to figure out, okay, what is this game about? How does the game work? And then another guy hits the ball and he takes his club and he sees a tree and he just wraps the club around the tree. Hello? And then you're watching a little bit more and then another guy hits the ball and he takes his club and he breaks it right over his knee. So you get out there, you think, I'm going to become a golfer. I'm going to become the best golfer ever. You know what I mean? And you hit the ball, and you start to cuss, and you take the golf clubs, and you start breaking them. And you think, I know how you play golf. See, and you think from just because you don't know, and you think that the main purpose in because you're trying to figure it out, right? Remember, you don't know. You're trying to figure it out, and you think, I know there's 18 or whatever. How many clubs can you have in your bag? Okay, it's 12. So 12, 13, whatever it is. You know what? So here's the goal. The goal is who can break the clubs the fastest. Watch this. But here's what you know. But you know you can't break the club till you hit the ball. Amen? So you're out there and you're thinking, and you break all your clubs. You're like, woo, I won. Okay? Somebody beat. That's not the purpose of golf. I use that example because can I tell you what? You're going to work to get a paycheck. And what I'm saying is, whoa. You know what? Wait a minute. Who are you listening to? Here's what you're listening to. You're listening to people from the wrong kingdom. You're not from this kingdom. You need to listen to the kingdom instructions and find out because you're and you're working anyway. But you're out there on the golf course, you know what? And if somebody was watching you from the kingdom of God, if you were watching somebody hit the ball and break it, and after all the clubs were done, they were like, yay, I won. You know what? Let's have a nice tea now. You'd be going like, oh, they don't even know what. What a crazy golfer, right? Is God looking down at us? And we're going to work and coming home, going to work and coming home, and he's going, they don't even understand the purpose. What if you understood that your work was meant, designed to be worshipful to God? that your work, you were, that you, that work was an assignment, that work was purposeful, and the main purpose wasn't to get paid to pay some bill, but the main purpose was to be on an assignment for Jesus Christ. It's interesting because if you look at, and guys in the back, you don't have to turn to this, but if you look at, well, actually, let's go there. Guys in the back, go to Genesis 2:5. I'll have it up on the screen. Genesis 2:5. And look at this. Before any plant of the field was on the earth, and before any herb of the field was grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Or I say there's no man to till the ground. Other versions say in this, there was no man to work the ground. Okay. Now watch this. Guys in the back, go to verse 15. I don't have it in my notes, but go to 15 and look at this. Look at this. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to what? To tend and keep it. Everybody say to tend and keep it. Now, this is, you're going to have to put your thinking caps on, okay? And I'll give you the clue. You want the clue? Okay. The clue is Genesis 2:15. That's the clue, okay? What do you notice about this verse? Don't forget the clue. Genesis 2. What do you notice about the verse? Here, you want me to give you another clue? This is the biggest clue. You're going to get it right away. In Genesis 3, who knows what happened in Genesis 3? The fall. Okay. Well, I just gave it away. So here's the point. God says this before the fall. See, can I tell you what? See, she said, I know what work is. Work is part of the curse. Whoa. Work is not part of the curse. Work is part of the blessing. Everybody say, work is part of the blessing. It's not part of the curse. You know what? It's part of the blessing. This happened before the fall even happened. God's intent is to put Adam to be responsible for the grounds. Amen? He is, watch this, he is put there to produce. Did you catch the pun? To produce. God intends us, part of our responsibility is to produce. All right. It's interesting because go ahead and show them the word for work. Do you guys have that there? A-B-A-D. Do you have it in the notes? Do you have it in the notes, guys? No. Okay. Anyway, the transliteration of the Hebrew, Old Testament's Hebrew, is A-B-A-D. It looks like abad. Okay. It's not produced that way. It's produced havad. But havad looks like the transliteration is A-B-A-D. You know what? And somebody says, yes, work is bad. You know what I mean? Work is a bad deal. Amen? And I'm saying, no. That's the reboot that you need. Work is a good thing. And it's an assignment that God has given to us. And we need to see it for what it should be, not for what the world has distorted it to be. Listen to me. Listen to this. God is as concerned with displaying his power outside the walls of the church as he is inside the walls of the church. I'll say that again. God is as concerned with displaying his power outside the walls of the church as he is inside the walls of the church. How many believe our services should be powerful? Okay. You know what I believe? I said, how many believe our services should be powerful? I believe that your workplace should be powerful. Amen? See, say it like this. Well, who leads worship at your work? You do. Amen? I'm not a worship leader. Here, I just assigned you. You are worship leader at your work. Amen? And your work should be worship. First point. Worshipful work fulfills God's purpose in creation. Worshipful work fulfills God's purpose in creation. I could say it like this. Purposeful work. Ever say purposeful work? Ephesians. Guys, you got to go there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. See, your purpose to work is to, well, I'll show it to you right here, one of the purposes. Look at this. Let him who stole steal no longer. Okay. Let him who stole steal no longer. Amen? It's just a side note, but people who say, no, tithe is not, it's not New Testament. Well, it's interesting because right here you see, you know what? Does the Bible say thou shalt not steal? Does the Bible say thou shalt not steal? Is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? It is both, but where was it written first? At first in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of commandments given to us in the Old Testament that are reiterated in the New Testament. My question is, how come with the tithe that gets thrown up in our face and say, well, that's, you know what? Well, then you're going to have to take out stealing too. Because the Bible says in the New Testament, and that's an Old Testament law, is it not? Oh, I'm just a side note, but it's important that you see that theologically. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Everybody say rather labor. See, let him labor, working with his hands. Okay, let's stop there. The person who's stealing is not productive. They're not a producer. They're a taker. You produce it. You work hard for it. You purchase it. And I'm going to go in, and not having done anything, I'm going to steal that from you. And enjoy your labors. God said, don't do that. And listen to me very carefully. And this is, you know what, can be controversial. But just listen to what I'm saying. Different people have different abilities. Is this not true? Here's what I'm saying. Everyone, say everyone, should be a producer. Everyone. Yeah, but Pastor, I can't work because I, you know what, I have a bad something, or I have this, or I used to work, but I, listen, I get that. What are you producing? Come on. Somebody say amen to this. What are you producing? Because you might not be able to work in a job that you used to work at. But if you think that that gives you the right and authority to stay home and just eat Doritos and watch I Love Lucy. No. That's not an excuse. That's wrong. Somebody say that's wrong. Listen, and I totally understand, you know what? Having said that, the Bible's clear. You know what? Let's not steal from anybody. Let's all take responsibility for our lives. Amen? Let's us produce. And maybe we can't do something. I love what I heard a pastor say. What a great witness this was. He said, And he was talking to, well, anyway, I'll just tell you what he said. He said he was in the military and he hurt his back severely. And he was getting government assistance every month because of his back. And he started praying, God, heal my back. And this is such a great witness. And God healed his back. And you know what this pastor did? You talk about integrity. We're going to talk about integrity in a minute. You know what this pastor did? He wrote a letter to the government and said, I don't want your checks anymore. God has healed my back. See, what was the reason why he was getting checks? Because he was hurt. And I totally get that. I totally understand. But he prayed. God healed his back. And guess what? And he could work. And he wrote a letter saying, I don't want your checks anymore. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Even in that process, because maybe it's a process before your back gets healed, what are you doing? Because I guarantee you, if you think about it, God is going to give you an assignment, something to do. And you might not be able to physically, you know what, do the same thing that you did when you were 20-something. Oh, it's quiet here. But we are all responsible to do something. Amen? Let him who stole, steal no longer, but rather let him, stop doing that, but rather work with his hands what is good, okay? That glorifies God. And then, watch this, that he might have something to give him who is in need. See, your thinking is too limited. You're thinking, you know what, I'm working, I'm going to make this much, and the main purpose of me making this much is to be able to pay my bills. Hello? Do y'all want to learn something tonight? I'm asking, do y'all want to learn something tonight? Watch this. Well, okay, do me a favor. I'll revolutionize your life if you'll follow this instruction. Go home, take your credit card, give it a plastic opomy. Okay? I'm telling you, and your life will change. Because here's what will happen. Well, here's what will first happen. Your flesh will go like this. And after you get done with that, and that might last 3 days, okay, after you get done with that, okay, then here's what's going to happen. Whatever your debt is, it's going to, you know what, so now you're taking your money, and it's going to go down a little bit, and it's going to go down a little bit, and it's going to go down a little bit, and it's going to go down a little bit. Now, let me say this to you first. I had one guy tell me, he said this. He said, you know what, Pastor? He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start tithing as soon as I get my credit cards taken care of. I thought, dude, you don't even understand. The first 10% doesn't even belong to you. And you're cursing the other 90%. What are you thinking? Side note, but a very important thing. Because you know what these are? These are what we talked about Sunday. These are imaginations. They're arguments that come into our minds. And we exalt them above the Word of God. And the Bible says, throw it down. Throw it down. Give the 10, let the 10 bless the 90, and you'll get out of debt faster. Okay. Did you catch that? Now let's go back. So every month, you know what? You're getting skinnier and skinnier. Amen? Skinnier and skinnier. Okay. And at some point in time, you get on the scale and you're like, yes. Right? You're gonna see that bill and it's going to come and it's going to say, oh, yeah. And they're bummed out about this. The credit card company are bummed out. You know, you owe $1.48. And you're going to write that check, $1.48. take this, Jackson. You know what I mean? Right? And it's going to be a good day. Now, what's going to happen the next month? You're going to have some more income. Right? See, and this is important that we understand, because we have to understand what's happening to the body of Christ and how we're getting all sucked away. And God's purpose for you to go out and get a job, one of the main purposes is that you would be able to have some money to give to needs. Amen. But you can't do that. And it's, listen, and listen, like what I said Sunday, man, don't beat yourself up. You know, you get all depressed. You get all, I'm $8,000 in a credit card debt. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm so sad. I'm going to go shopping. Right? Right? Come on. Come on. No, just go home, do a plastic opomy, and you're going to be happy. Amen. But I just want you to see the purpose. See, this is the this is one of the main purposes that God has you to work for. But the Bible says in the end days, men will become, can I preach to somebody tonight? The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of ourselves. So, We get into financial mess because why do we do that? Here's why. Because, please understand, guys, I you are good people. And you are marketed to, they are spending millions of dollars. Millions. These corporations, you know what? All of them are doing it. They're spending millions of dollars trying to figure out how to separate you from your money. Amen. And they're doing all, and it's getting crazy now. They're doing all kinds of, you know what, music stuff and sense stuff and everything they can do, lighting, all this stuff to try to get you in this, you know what, spend euphoria. To separate you from your dollars. And the problem is, the Bible says in the last day, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And so all the income that's happening in the church is just sucked away, because here's what they do. Getting back to the point, here's why it happens. Because you have to have it now. It is the... Nobody teaches on deferred gratification anymore. Everybody say deferred gratification. So, Pastor, I don't want to say it. That don't sound good. That don't sound deferred gratification. Who's ever thought of such a wacky concept? And so they know that. Well, I don't know. I don't know that they know that scripture, but they know men nowadays are very much about, they got to have it, we got to have it now. Where if we would just defer gratification, you know what? Then you would be able to get down to zero debt. And when you had zero debt, now you're going to have some extra cash to be able to do things that you want to do. And because of the goodness of your heart and the sensitivity that you have to the Holy Spirit, for many of you, and I'd say most of you, I'll say all of you, you're going to be sensitive to be able to give to other folks and other stuff. So, oh, Pastor, I wish I could be part of that outdoor. You know, I wish I could give $1,000. You can give $1,000. See, stop what I taught Sunday. Stop saying you can't. Amen. Oh, I wish I could. No. It might take some planning on your part. It might take some discipline on your part. But how many know heaven and earth gonna pass away? Amen. Everything that we do is gonna be thrown into the fire, and it's gonna be tested. And all the stuff, and all kinds of stuff. You know what? But I'm telling you what, the stuff that you do to build the kingdom It's going to laugh at that fire. And God's going to go, whoa, whoa. Check out what this person, when I throw all their works into the fire, trip out on how much is left of this person. Amen? Amen. Are you learning something? How many still glad they're here? You talk about deferred gratification, people can get whiny on you, okay? Amen. How many of you came to learn today? Amen. How many is okay to slap your flesh around a little bit today? Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Guys in the back, you got to flow with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, one of my favorite things that Jesus said in the whole New Testament. I quote this all the time, but I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So one of the purposes that you have to work is to be able to have some funds to be able to take care of needs. Amen? Number one. But number two, one of the reasons why you work is you are strategically planted at that bank. You're strategically planted in that construction place. You're strategically planted in that office. You're strategically planted at that school. You're strategically planted in these areas. And what has God got? God has, he's putting these secret, his secret agents, right, in different places in the world. Why? Because what is his, what's God's will? Ever say that none perish. So he's putting he's putting his agents, he's putting his ambassadors, say I'm an ambassador. Bible says you're an ambassador of Christ. What's an ambassador? Ambassador is someone who from a different kingdom that's placed in a foreign kingdom. Say I'm an ambassador. And you are an ambassador. So let your light so shine before men. Before everybody say before men. I wish someone, I don't like my job because everybody in my job's not saved. Oh, well, run around in the circle three times and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because you are strategically planted in that place. Stop complaining, start to rejoice, amen, at your place, amen. You say, well, I don't get to do that. You know what? I'm at home taking care of my kids. Are you kidding me? You know when most people, you know, we are working really, really hard on being at this school that it's almost literally right across our parking lot, the elementary school. Why do we are working hard, gone through this training and all kinds of stuff because we want to be, we want to have a Bible club after school. Why do you care so much about that? Here's why. Because almost everyone who gets saved before they're 18 years old. Do you know that's true? And the younger you get, the more receptive people are to accepting Jesus Christ. So if you say, Pastor, are you talking about work? Talking about work, I'm sitting at home taking care of my kids, you know, and I don't, you know what I mean? Hey, well, rejoice and hallelujah because you have one or two or three or eight, praise God, little angels that are walking around there that you can evangelize all day long. Amen. So get to work. You're strategically planted also. Is this making sense? Well, I don't work. I'm not a home wife. I mean, I'm just going to school. Oh, my goodness. You talk about, like, and how many know this? Watch this. How many know this? The darker it is, the more the light shines. Amen. Amen. So all I'm saying is, number one, you're planted in a place, you know, you would be able to make some money to not just spend all your money on you, but to be able to help some other people out. Amen. Number one. Number two, and if you're spending all your money, here, this is another note, but just please listen to me. You say, but Pastor, I got, this is going to be hard. Are you ready for this? You say, but Pastor, I would, but I have credit card debt. Right. Credit card debt that was all racked up on stuff that you had to have. I'm not trying to make any enemies here. Take a big breath. And when you blow it out, say, I love my pastor. Sometimes we just have to have moments like that. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I got to remind ourselves. Okay? Okay. But, see, because how many know sometimes we just fake ourselves out? It's like, Pastor, not my fault. You know, I just got too much credit card debt. I can't do anything. It's your fault. All the credit card debt is on you. And how many know we got to change that? We got to change that. And you just be positive. Just think, you know, a little bit a month. Now I'm nice and skinny. Yeah. Right? Just think that way, okay? But number two, you were put in that place to let your light shine. You know how many times I walked into Albertsons? And I tell this story all the time. I do it on purpose because it needs to be. You need to hear this witness. You know what? And my job was like probably not like any too much different than your job. I had bad bosses. You know what I mean? I had opportunities to be mad and be frustrated, and you know what I mean? I mean, really, literally, none of my bosses listened to anything I ever said. I think we should, you know, you ever thought, oh, man, I think we should do it like this. You know what I mean? In the grocery store, we just weren't ever, there was no, oh, if you have, suggestion box back there, suggestion, right? Suggestion box, throw it back there. You know, companies would be smart. You know how Southwest turned their company, one of the most successful companies in the United States, and they were going broke. You know how they turned it around? They were so in bankruptcy that they were only like 4 months away from just everybody's going to lose their job. So somebody innovative on the top said, what the heck? We got nothing to lose. We're going to let, from now on, we're going to let, if the pilots have a better idea of how to do it, we're going to empower them to do it that way, as far as flying the plane or taxing out, and of course, you know, can't break any laws or anything, but we're going to give them the power. If the baggage people have a better way to be more efficient with the bags, we're going to let them do it. If the flight attendants have a better way to treat the customers and can figure it out, we're going to let them do it. And they gave all this power back to the employees. And a matter of, I mean, it was in a short period of time that everything changed. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you know how they have the flight attendants say, you know what? Oh, you know, I just want to let you know. You know, it's very boring, whatever. You know, we're going through some turbulence here and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Whatever. And so somebody with some creativity get on the line and say, hey, you know what? We're going through some turbulence, but let me tell you what, we've never lost a wing yet. And somebody just laugh and go, oh, well, that's, you know what I mean? Hello? And whatever. But there was so much efficiency that was done when it was given to the employees, through the employees, and not checked through 38 managers who have a mindset of they know better than you. The answer is no. So in 25 years, I'm never asked at Albertson. See, how many can relate to that? You're worried to nobody, and you know, you're thinking, why aren't they asking me? I could help them. Or you come to them with the suggestion. What? I'm just saying. But that's what it is. I don't know if your job's going to change. Yeah, you, well, Pastor, why don't you tell them at my job? It's not my assignment. But what I'm saying is, here's what your assignment is. All the years it never changed. You know what I mean? You know what? And what would I do? I'd come in to Albertsons with the joy of the Lord as my strength. You know what? And I've told you this before. Sometimes they'd put me on Quick Check. Quick Check was the worst because you had to deal with the most customers. I'm just telling you. People hated Quick Check. You know what I mean? And sometimes they'd put me on Quick Check for like 8 days in a row. You know, well, they didn't like you? I don't know if they liked me or not. Wasn't my point. You know what I mean? My point was to share joy. Amen? So, and check stand number one was Quick Check. It was all the way down. So the office was way over here. I'd get my till, you know what, take my till, and I'd walk through all, you know what, eight, you know what, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. But as I walked down with my till in my hand, I'd look at all the checkers and I'd go, I'm number one. I'm number one. They put me as number one again. They love me. They put me as number one. And, of course, they're going, what kind of goofball is that? Amen? But they started to laugh. Amen? And these people are like, you know, and these people are like, oh, how are you doing today? You know, that was the attitude. You ever been in a job like that? You know, everybody's like, how are you doing? Same old, right? Right? Am I speaking the truth? It's like you ask how you doing and you get thrown up at, you know, it's like, sorry I ask you. That was the grocery store. Amen. That was the grocery store. You know what? Number one question. You know what? When's your break? When do you get off? Because that's all they thought. So Pastor, what would you do? I'd sing. Amen. And you know, I'd sing. You know what? I'd sing a song. And I would particularly pick songs that would have high octaves, right? And I'd start off high, which means, where are we going with this? You know what? Sing. And I wouldn't do it in tune. If I did it, what's funny about doing it in tune? Anybody can sing in tune. I'll sing out of tune. That's funny. You know what? Sing a song. Make it happy. Sing. Oh, it's a pretty funny song anyway, you know what I mean? Make it happy, not sad. Right? La 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 do 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 do. And where is he going with this? They know where I'm going with this. And then the customer would come by, and I'd say, hey, Pastor, are you goofing off? No, I'm checking away. You know what I mean? But what do you do when the lady's got to write a check? I'm not talking about not being a producer. If I'm screwing around not doing work, you know, listen, they're paying me to work. I need to work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know what? Bring in some joy into a place. That's your calling. You say, Pastor, but I'm not like you. Just be you. But be full of joy. Amen? And I'd ask the customer, I'd say, you know what? You know what my mom used to tell me? And yeah, I'm setting them up. Well, what did your mom used to say? You know what? I said, you know what? Tony, what would my mom used to say? Oh, she said, stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Is he crazy? Doesn't he know he should be depressed in the grocery store? Everybody else is. No, but if I'm that, you know this. And I listen, I can testify. This is true. Tamara said she didn't like me at first. I'm still not sure that I believe that part, really. She tells us, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the truth. But anyway, that's what she says. But here's why she says. She said because she was convinced. See, she worked in the grocery store, too, where everyone, I mean everyone, is just like, you know, can I tell you one of the reasons that is? Because the managers are, read a great book called A Million Dollar Habits, and the guy in the book said, if you go and get bad service at a restaurant, 9 times out of 10, it's the owner's fault or the manager's fault. Because everything flows downhill. And in the grocery store, that's what it was. Bad attitude managers. You know what I mean? And it just corrupts the whole thing. The Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole loaf. You know what? You know, if I wasn't called here, true story, if I wasn't called here, you know what? I could go back in the grocery store and make a ton of money being a consultant for their managers. Really. But that's not my point. My point is that the calling in our life, you're not called to that job just to pay your bills. You're called in that job. You're called to not spend all your money on yourself. Get out of debt. You know what? Stop spending all your money on yourselves. Start to be able to give, and then start to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You're there anyway. And if you start thinking on what's good, you know what? It's just going to flow out of you anyway. You know why people are all talk all junk all the time? Do you know why Jesus said this? Because the heart is corrupt. From the heart, the mouth speaks. So people who are always negative all the time, you know what? They got bad hearts. They don't have a mouth problem. They have a heart problem. Is this making sense? And so what we need to do is we need to analyze and go, wait. And you say, Pastor, what's the solution? I tell you the solution every week. Read your Bible every day. The Bible just causes you... You can't find a more optimistic book than this. This will just cause you to be optimistic all day long. What if, let me end with what I started with. What if we viewed, you know what, our work as worship? What if we viewed our work as an assignment given to us by God himself? Because I would subject to you, that's exactly what it is. It's an assignment given to you. Amen. Could somebody raise their hand and say, Pastor, I feel like you just rebooted my head. If that's you, raise up your hand. Father, let's stand up to our feet if you would. Father, we thank you. Your word renews us. Your word helps us. I pray that we wouldn't walk into our jobs with the same kind of ho-hum mentality. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for spending all our money on ourselves. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be disciplined. Discipline is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to have a desire. And yeah, maybe it's going to take a little while, but let's start. Help us, God, to get completely out of debt. No more credit card debt. Amen. No more car payment debt. No more debt at all. That we would be able to then spend, you know what, our money, all our checks, not on what we've already spent it on ourselves, but be able to pay all our bills and be able to pay somebody else's bill, be able to gas up somebody else's car, be able to write a check to fund the outdoor project, be able to do things, God, and feel better about ourselves, knowing that what we're doing is really making a difference.
and help us to not be upset. Help us. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit saying this. Some, I don't know who this is for, but listen to my prayer. Help us to not be angry at our bosses, but to be compassionate, knowing that they're probably not even saved. And if they are saved, they are not going to a church like this that's teaching the joy of the Lord. So help us to be compassionate towards them, not hostile towards them. Help us to pray for those workers around us that just complain all the time. Help us to be a light that others would see our good works and glorify you, God. We thank you for all this. Help us to remember this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.